Carolyn Wood speaks to Becky Sweet, her Chatterone colleague, about her forthcoming production of the recently discovered Agatha Christie novel. This will be the first production of it in Europe and the third in the world.
This is Carolyn Wood, and I'm speaking to Becky Sweet, who is a theatre director at the Maddermarket Theatre, and she is preparing for a play at the Maddermarket, and a particularly interesting play by Agatha Christie. Thank you, Becky, for taking the time to talk to me today about your forthcoming play.
It's my pleasure.
Could you tell me a little bit about it, just to get started?
Well, Towards Zero, personally, I think is one of Agatha Christie's very best novels and is available through the usual marketplaces, and you can get an audio version, which is unabridged, and I heartily recommend it. And this script is one of two that she was involved with, and this is the original theatre version that she wrote in 1945, a year after the novel was published. And it was the only time in her career that someone actually commissioned her to write a play. And it was performed in Martha's Vineyard in America. And then she filed it away. Later, she co-wrote another version of Towards Zero for the theatre, which has been done from time to time. But in 2015, Julius Green was working on a book and working on her archives to write an account of her life in theatre. And he found this original script of Towards Zero, which no one knew about. And unlike the later version, it's set outside a house on a cliff top, overlooking the sea towards a hotel, and is one of her dark psychology plays. So it was on in America in 1945. After being discovered, there was a production in New Zealand, but at the time of speaking, and to the best of my knowledge, this is going to be only the third ever production of this particular script. So I'm very excited.
What are some of the research needed in preparation for putting on a play?
Well, there are two levels, really. I mean, often with plays, they're often period pieces. So the Maddermarket is fortunate in having some professional staff, and the wardrobe mistress is excellent at bringing together the costumes for any period, and the Maddermarket has a wonderful historical collection of costumes. You just met Lucinda Bray, the production manager, who is working on the set for Towards Zero, and also overseeing the stage management and props and furniture, and she also has a very good understanding of the period, and in our case it's the 1940s. But then the director can enjoy themselves researching the actual play itself. So, for example, I've discovered that in many of her stories there is this island hotel that appears, and I've found out that this is the Berg Hotel on Berg Island in Devon. And if my understanding of the geography is correct, Agatha Christie's house is on the mainland overlooking the sea in the same area. I stand to be corrected on that, possibly, but her house does look out over the sea. And she says one of the best times for preparing a novel is while you're doing the washing up. And I can just imagine her at the kitchen window, looking out towards the hotel, murdering people quite happily in her mind.
So this view must have really influenced the set.
Yes. I've been really lucky because I mentioned Julius Green earlier on, who is a theatre director himself and has written this book about her life and her work vis-à-vis theatre. He's going to do our programme notes for us. I am absolutely delighted about that. And also, I discovered in his book a reproduction of a watercolour painting of the set for Towards Zero as Agatha Christie initially envisioned it in back in the 40s. And Julius Green thinks it was an architect who lived near her in London who did the honours with the painting. And the Agatha Christie Archive Trust have very kindly allowed me to reproduce this picture in our programme as well. And it shows the house and the view over the sea towards the hotel, which plays a significant role in the plot. And as any Agatha Christie fan knows, the two physical comings and goings and where were they and what time and who saw them is all very important. And because I'd seen this picture, it's been bliss for me because she designed it to make sure that all the entrances and exits could work. So I haven't had to work it out. I can look at it and go, yes, that works. And I can see the characters coming and going and it's all there prepped for me, which is very nice.
Yes. And a true spirit of the era.
Yes, yes. So we're hoping to reproduce the view towards the hotel, towards Zero, and make it very Devonian with its red soil and warmth, yes.
Can you say a little bit about the plot without giving too much away?
Agatha Christie is renowned for her understanding of the human nature and its frailties. And this is very much one of her psychological plots. So it's a dream for the actors. It's about the relationships. And the clues are in the dynamics of the character as much as the running around and the timing and the usual physical things. So there's jealousy. There's depression. There's... she addresses the problem of suicide. There's obviously the murder. There's narcissism. And love lost, love won, love disappointed.
What else did you discover about Agatha Christie as a woman?
One of my favourite facts is that she was one of the first Europeans to surf standing up. She had a very exciting life. She did a lot of archaeology with her husband, travelled all over the world. And the wartime, she started as a nurse, but then she's worked in a dispensary, a drugs dispensary. And that is how she learned all about the poisons that she uses in some of her plots. And apparently they really are quite accurate. And she used to make a study of the law. So I think for the first half of her career, possibly, I don't know the dates exactly, but double jeopardy was allowed. You could try somebody more than once. And then the law changed and she kept up with all of that. She had an interesting childhood in that she was a late arrival. She had two siblings, I believe, but effectively she was an only child at home at the time. And her mother, Clara, who was an excellent storyteller herself, didn't want Agatha to learn to read until she was eight. But Agatha, bored, taught herself to read by the age of five. And it was during the First World War that Agatha turned to writing detective stories. Her debut novel, The Mysterious Affair at Stiles, took some time to finish and even longer to find a publisher. But she started writing partly in response to a bet from her sister Madge that she couldn't write a good detective story. And she rose to the challenge. And that was the beginning of the most extraordinary career.
How old was she when she first started writing?
Well, she was born September 1890, and the First World War, 1914 to 1918. So your maths might be faster than mine.
25.
There you are. Ish. Yes. Yes. She disliked publicity and gave very few interviews. Although, having been lost for about 30 years, I think, they did find that in private she had recorded herself so that she could write her autobiography. So they found a lot of tapes of her.
Did she spend her whole life in Devon?
Yes, she was born in Torquay, into a comfortably well-off middle-class family. So even though she lived abroad for periods of time, yes, Devon was her, where her roots are. She said that it may take three weeks to 9 months in thinking up a plot. The actual time of writing and typing would be approximately 3 months. And then she would spend 4 months of every year with her husband on archaeological expeditions.
And just finally, I'm just wondering, what's so special about acting and directing at the Maddermarket Theatre for you?
It genuinely is a privilege. The Norwich Players started in Linham's Court in Norwich, and Nugent Monk, who ran it at the time, moved it eventually to a conversion of a Roman Catholic chapel, which is where the Maddermarket is now. And so the Maddermarket opened in the chapel in 1921. And when he was retiring in 1952, there were letters to the Times from a group of people, including Bernard Shaw, saying how wonderful the Maddermarket had been and that Nugent Monk had created a genuine Shakespearean space and moved the production of Shakespearean plays forward tremendously. And someone has even written a PhD about this place. So there's this history. And 21 years ago was the first time I directed here. I directed Steel Magnolias. And the space is wonderful to act in because it's rather like a Shakespearean theatre. There's a balcony all around that runs completely round the stage and the auditorium, and it's very intimate for the actors and the audience. It's an interesting set of challenges for set designing, but the theatre here is very clever. They are doing very minimal, conceptual and beautiful sets. And I feel very lucky to be a Norwich player.
Thank you very much, Becky, for taking the time to talk about your forthcoming play and the magic of the Maddermarket Theatre.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Towards Zero runs at the Maddermarket from Friday the 21st of June to Saturday the 29th of June, with matinees on both Saturdays.